I'm moist like a towelette.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for November 7th, 2017, with me, Scott Johnson, and him, Brian Dunaway. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the final score. It's not the final score. What is it? The Boop Show.
It's the final score.
Not even close.
Did I say boop at the beginning or did I say final score in the beginning?
I think you said boop at the beginning.
Okay. I don't know. It's been a crazy week. Look, I just got back from Anaheim, California, and the craziness that is BlizzCon. And here I am to talk about that and the things that happened there, but only a little because... Don't worry, I got plenty of other shows where Blizzard is the focus, and y'all can go listen to those if you want to hear me go on and on and on about Blizzard. But, you know, later...
Wow, when you sell it like that, well, how look, can they refuse?
Look, I'm a big fan, fanboy, you might say, of Blizzard Entertainment, and I kind of lap it all up and love it, and I even had a panel at this year's thing, and that was cool, but all of that can be found like on the Instance and Core and all this other stuff, so... I just don't want to smother him in Blizzard crap. It's like, we get it, Scott. You like Blizzard a lot. Well,
jeez.
I'll break down the game important stuff in the news segment today, but I'm not gonna go on and on. Okay.
I'm gonna balance this for you by being a. I'm not gonna hate on Blizzard, but hey, I just don't play as much Blizzard as I used to.
Well, you're not like you are not like me. In this regard, like your alliances, you know, you'll play Blizzard games. You'll be happy with right. A Blizzard game, but you're not like it's not like you're dying to get in there all the time or anything, and that's fine.
I'll tell you right now, I like Overwatch. I'm having a good time in it, but I'm not a AAA title kind of guy. I'm more of a give me some of those indies.
Well, I am too. I'm kind of with you on that. I like a little independence in my life. So anyway, we're gonna bring it to you today, all 9 feet of it. What does that mean? I don't know.
My anaconda?
it don't. It don't. So, Brian, how was? Did you do okay without me being around? I guess did we end up missing a week because of this? No, we had a show last Monday.
No, we didn't. We missed a Monday because internet crapped on you.
That's right. I left the next morning. Oh, yeah, today's Tuesday. Oh, I'm so jacked up still since I got home. My voice is returning, though, so I don't have all the weird crackiness at the end of my my words as much as I had yesterday and a little bit this morning. But, yeah, we had a show Monday. I left Tuesday. Today is the 1 week anniversary of when I was gone. And that feels weird. But today we did this because the internet was dumb yesterday. I don't know if anyone else got affected by this, but, like, lots of game services were down. You couldn't play... I can't remember the car game all of a sudden. Rocket League. I couldn't play Rocket League. You couldn't play certain other games because the services tied to the outages were kind of all over the place.
Couldn't play Rocket League?
No. For once, this wasn't an Amazon AWS S3 thing. This was like a bunch of other services. Comcast was part of the problem. CenturyLink. Big ISP stuff, level 3 stuff, all took a big wet, stinky, swirly poo. And because of that, lots of services were down, and I couldn't stream yesterday at 3:30. So that's the reason there's no show then, but there is one now. And I'm glad to
it
be
makes
here.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. So I didn't play a whole lot this week, as funny as it may sound. You'd think going to a video game conference would mean I'd play a bunch of things, but I literally played nothing, and I mean at the conference. I was so busy, I never had time for hands-on, so I didn't get to play any of the new stuff that they showed off. I kept trying to, and then things would come up, and I'd have to run to the next thing, and I couldn't do that, and then I'd try later, and then it wouldn't work out. Plus all the socializing and the whatnot that happens at a convention like that. So where I was left is last week, right about now, or a day earlier, I was playing a whole lot of Mario there, the Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Odyssey. And that game's great, and I already told you that on Monday that it's great. But
tell me again.
It's still good.
Tell me
how it's good.
It's
still good. I played some since I've been home, so it's it continues to be amazing. I'm in this food level now where everything's made a giant food. So like a big big corn on the cob and like there's these stewed tomatoes. These are the best, man. You jump on these stewed tomatoes and they're trying to get you, you know. You can't possess them with your hat. You have to kill them. And you kill them.
And they're stewed. They're not like the regular tomatoes. These are like drunk tomatoes is what you're saying.
Yeah, have you seen like I'm trying to think how, like if your mom made a tomato something.
Yeah.
And there's like, and
the
peel,
the actual outer peel is off, and you just got that sub-veiny kind of thing going on, right?
Yes. And what's crazy is this game, easily the best stewed tomato graphics I've ever seen. They're really good. Anybody who's played that food level knows I'm not kidding here. It's like when you land on them or you hurt them, they go. And like they fly, whatever skin's left on them kind of flies off and disappears, and they kind of melt into this like pancake of like oily, nasty tomato goo.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, and you got to stay out of it, you'll get hurt. It's really well done. Like that level, everything about that game, whatever, it's probably game of the year. I may as well just say it now. It's game of the year. It's my game of the year.
Does it say there are stewed tomatoes in the game, or is that a Scottism?
Well, I assume they are because this whole place stuff's cooking. There's lots of food enemies.
Food stuffs.
Yeah. These things, I mean, if they're not stewed tomatoes, well, I don't know what the hell these are because they totally tell, you know, they seem that way to me. So I could be wrong, but they're not named creatures, but my understanding is they're autonomous, thinking for themselves, stewed tomatoes.
So yeah, because they jumped out of a stew and now you're chasing them and you're trying to jump on them, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah. And the whole point of this particular level is some kind of stew thing I'm supposed to fix or finish. So, I'm trying to do that. So that's where I'm at right now. This is not very deep for those who finished the game, obviously, but, and a lot of people have, like our friend Patrick Beja, who flew in from France to go to BlizzCon. He played the game on his 15 or 12 hour flight, whatever it was, from Helsinki to LA and beat the game. Now there's two stages of the game in terms of completion. There's beating it, which is just the sort of linear story thing, getting the minimum amount of moons and then moving on to the next area. Then there's the completionist phase, which is go back and clean it up and get everything, right? And I'm very much looking forward to doing that still, but I'm not there yet. So anyway, it's great. It's fantastic. It's my game of the year so far. Something really neat will have to come out before the end of the year for me to change my mind. It's really special. So
you heard it here, Sony and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Get out something neat.
Well, Sony might, but Microsoft's all out of games this year. They're done, I think. Aren't they? They really don't have anything else big.
What you got? I got nothing.
They got third party and they got the X, and that's cool, but they don't have like a, you know, they're supposed to have, what's that? Crackdown 3 was supposed to be happening. That's not happening now. So no like first party game, which is a big bummer. But time will tell. We shall see. So last week, Brian, when I left you, you were going to finally partake in the classic, fantastic indie game, one of the greatest of all time that ever existed, Spelunky, because you were in the mood to say, hey, Spelunky, let's see what you're about so that when Spelunky 2 happens, I'll be all ready for you. So how did it go? Did you play?
Interesting. You should ask since I told you last week. Yes, I did play Spelunky, and I played a pretty darn good bit of it.
Yeah.
I was remembering, I'm like, I've had this game since like 2013. Why didn't I play it? And I started remembering right away. I'm like, oh yeah, this is that dumb game everybody loved. And I thought, I don't want another stupid mining game. I've already got 20 million of them. And I played like 2 minutes of it and said, this is dumb. And turned it off. Turns out, it's not dumb. It was me that was dumb.
And it's not a mining game really at all in the end. It's more like a platformy, roguelike, kill stuff, advance in the next level sort of adventure-y kind of deal. I don't think I ever mined for anything that I think about.
There is a pick that you can get if you buy it from the store owner, and you can mine for it, or you can dig at least. You wouldn't really get much other than like a few gems. And I guess you could argue that when you blow bombs up, and, you know, some of the cave blows up, I guess you're kind of
Oh, sure.
Mining.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
That's totally not the point. The point is, this is one of the most...
best games ever, is what you're going to say.
It's just the most wild game ever, because lots of things that happen are not as described. So you'll have the tutorial, and it says, oh, when you do this and then you blow up the wall, this happens. And then something totally different happens, and you're like, that wasn't in the tutorial at all. And it's like, did this guy just throw everything in this game? He did.
Yeah, he did. It's chaos sometimes.
The answer is he did. And it's like these happy little accidents, it's like the creator took it and turned it into something interesting.
Yeah.
And it's totally different than anything I've played before, as far as, especially when it comes to, you know, like we're used to when we started playing Mario back in the day to finish, you know, screen after screen, we found out that if you didn't rush near the end, your time would run out.
Yeah.
Since I didn't have a timer on this, I assumed that I had all the time in the world. However,
yeah, if you get that ghost thing, you gotta.
Yeah. So like after 2.5 minutes, and it only happened to me a couple of times, I'm not patient. I'm always trying to hurry as quick as I can to get to the exit. Yeah. I found out the ghost is coming along, and it's like, oh, what the crap? Yeah. It happened a couple of times in a row, and I'm like, wait a minute. It seems like it happens every time.
It's an arbitrary, undiscussed timer. It's a little frustrating. Yeah. I actually hope that that's not in 2. I'm not a fan of it, not because I just don't like video games that make me feel like I'm being rushed. I would rather take my time, no matter what it is I'm doing. If I'm not moving at a constant rate of speed, like a racing game or something, right. I don't understand the point of timing my run through. Let me just work my way in. Let me strategize how I'm going to do it. Every time you launch a game of Spelunky, it's randomized. So nothing's the same, and I would, other than the shortcuts you can get after you've unlocked them, but yeah.
Is the goal, so you got to ask yourself, what's the point of the game? Because the game kind of throws all of these ideas that the point is, but it's not really. I mean, you're really trying to get from the top where you start at, and you kind of just like you're platforming jumping down without falling. You can't fall too far, and you're trying to get to the bottom level where you can exit, but along the way you want to collect as many gems and coins as you can, and there's a couple of other little things in there too, as well as
treasure chests.
Treasure chests, damsels. You can do shopping, and based on what you do and your behavior, it advances the gameplay. So
you can do shopping is a weird way to put it, but yes, you can spend that gold and those gems on. Yes. On upgrades Thanks. And shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Sure. It is only good for that level.
Yeah. That is correct.
While you're there.
Well, you can take it with you, but that run through, yes. You're right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so the run throughs can be painfully short. If you're not good at this game, you'll die a lot. If you're good at it, you'll get real far, but that's kind of the point. And it's a true roguelike in that, you know, you got to start over and go again. And all you've really done. It's a hardcore game because all you really unlock is the ability to skip levels if you're that good, if you're good enough. Right. And it's a hell of a game. I hope 2 is stands up to it and is lives up to its legacy.
Right. And I didn't even realize until about 30 minutes before the show that I kept saying I'm playing Spelunky and I wasn't adding on the HD part because the open source version that came out in 2009 is different.
Oh, it's like totally way different. Pixely and retro looking and all that.
Right. Yeah. And it's totally different. And so I've been going back and playing that as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I like the fact that you can pick your damsel. You may not pick your character beyond, you know, a certain set of characters. You can pick the damsel. It's my damsel.
The damsel's also, it can be a dog.
A lady, or it can be random.
Yeah, random's cool.
Random's way cool. Also, another thing I discovered on accident.
Yeah,
I'm down there trying to shop from the shopkeeper.
Yeah, don't just blow stuff up.
Just don't blow stuff up. Forget that crap. I'm just like I'm getting followed by a bat because they're the most annoying things in the world. Mm-hmm. So because they come at you so slow, and if you pass by the little, you know, the bat, he'll start coming down at you slowly, and you can turn around and whip him if you have a whip.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I walked in there. I was backing into. I was gonna go get some, you know, some cool swag from the shopkeep.
Yeah.
And this bat starts following me in. I'm like, hey, back off! So I just do my little whip at him. Next thing I know, shopkeep goes berserko.
Yeah. Oh, he loses it. He is not. He is hair trigger. He's ready to destroy his entire realm of being if you go in there and do anything wrong.
So then my new game began, started being, how can I kill the shopkeeper? Can I kill the shopkeeper? Let's find out. So this game is nothing but a bunch of Easter eggs. The whole way through is just figure out what this thing can do and what that thing does.
No, you're right. And there's a good challenge to that. Like I did that too. I'd go in and just look for shopkeepers and see if I could destroy them. And sure enough, you can. That's just really hard.
Yeah. Oh, can you kill them? I haven't killed one yet. But apparently, I guess you can get the stuff for free.
Well, if you kill him, you can take his stuff.
Right.
If he yet lives, you're screwed. But if you're if you are kind of leaving him in the dust or off in the part of the level where he's not hurting you or whatever, and you can run to his stuff while he's not there, you can totally steal it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cave destroying stuff that you can accidentally do, because at some point in time I progressed far enough that I started having altars show up, and I was like, here comes a baddie, I'm just gonna plant a little bomb here and take off, blew up the altar, and apparently I angered the gods.
Yeah.
And so next thing I know, there's like 50 bats on my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And
for those just getting to the stream, some of us, hey, what are we talking about here? Brian likes to go back and play games from 2003. That's his whole life.
2013, Scott. Thank 13, you very much.
Sorry, 13, not three. Sorry, off by a decade.
And there's a reason why I usually play games that are being rebooted or have something to use.
I like that. I like the perspective.
Yeah. I don't usually just go for an old game unless it's something like that. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun with Spelunky HD, and I'm looking forward to Spelunky 2. Yeah. And I hope that either I figure out how to jump down and look for those stupid dart idols, or they take them out, because every time.
Yeah,
I don't see him until I'm already in the air, and it's like, oh no!
If y'all are looking for a kind of a goofy version of this, or a game that's a little lighter on the difficulty, but also does some other things kind of unique, there's a game called Cave. Oh shoot, I have this game and the name just went away. Hold on,
is it on Android?
No,
iTunes.
Steam only is for Cave Blazers. That's it.
Oh, Cave Blazers. That's good. I have that.
Yeah,
one.
You should try playing it now that you've played Spelunky and see what you think about the differences, because it's absolutely inspired by Spelunky, but it takes it in some areas that I like. Some areas that are a little bit weird, but for the most part, I like what they've done with it. Actually, I may have some free codes for that. I wonder if I should give some away today.
We should hold on to them until a more opportune time comes when people are sitting waiting for free stuff.
We should do that. We should warn them so they know when they come out on the show. Maybe next week we'll do some giveaways of Cave Blazers. And I have a bunch of them.
Blazers.
Point is, it's a lot of cave blazing you just sang there. I like that. That was nice.
It felt very 007.
Very good. Well done. And don't worry, Brian will still play Cuphead at some point. I will finish Cuphead
I picked up Cuphead.
Yeah, I did too. Well, I guess we talked about it last week a little bit, right?
Well, you picked it up and we talked a little bit about it, but I didn't purchase it yet. And then I was, I don't know what I was waiting on, but I got tempted this week by a website called CD Keys, which...
illegal at all. What is CD Keys? Weird.
Right. I've seen them a million times, and I'm like, I've never bought anything from them, but nobody ever says anything bad. And it's like, other than like, oh, I tried to buy a key and it didn't work. And it's just like so rare. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what gray area they're working in, but I was like, $15 for Cuphead. Might as well try it out. So I did. So $15 for Cuphead. We're going to see. I'll probably regret it later. My identity will probably be stolen, and then I'll be playing real life Cuphead.
Yeah. I've never heard of this before. And now looking at it, they have,
not recommending it. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe it's legit. I don't know. Like, this Call of Duty World War II seems like it's sponsored even.
Yeah. I mean, and look, this is kind of, I don't know how they may partition this out, but I do know that there is a huge market for digital codes. So a lot of, I've seen plenty of eBayers. They'll go purchase a Blu-ray with a digital copy, and then they'll just sell the Blu-ray and just sell the code.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like that. It's kind of a gray area. How legal it is, I don't know. But I thought I'd give it a try. Why not? what's the worst that could happen? My Steam account being banned? I don't know.
Could be. I don't want to make too much of this, but I just noticed in the description for Call of Duty World War II PC edition, it says the EU edition. Underneath, the only descriptor is this version will not activate in Germany.
Good luck.
World War II, huh? Nazis. This is,
Sometimes Brian likes to play the gray area game.
Yeah. Well, anyway, CD keys. Don't have any experience with them, but I'm sure somebody
wonders. Oh, by the way, I'm on episode 2 of season 2 of Stranger Things, and I have been playing the game on my Android device, and it's kind of got me hooked.
It's a good game. I like it.
It's a good game.
For a cheap little free tie-in, it's okay. It's pretty good.
Are you playing hardcore?
I would not do that because no time. But I played the other way, and it was a fun romp. I finished that game, enjoyed the hell out of it. It's actually quite good for a little free pack-in. But hardcore, not even close. Not even close.
How long did it take you to complete?
A few hours, maybe.
Few hours? Good Lord. I'm like going off hour 4. Was you cheating like going to YouTube?
No, I just played. Look, I'm just having a natural thing with that game. It just soaked right in. It was like nice face mask. It just kind of soaked in. I don't know what that means.
Yummy. A face mask.
We'll play more stuff next week, people. Don't worry about it. Okay, we got to talk about what's going on in the news. A little opinion piece here. I want to compare opinions. GameStop compares loot boxes to cereal box prizes and other things on Facebook, and then it stood by that thinking on Twitter. A lot of people think that sounds ridiculous, that loot boxes are not like cereal boxes. I would actually, before I even read the article or talked about some of the controversy around this, I already kind of balked at it because it doesn't sound right. Like, a loot... not balk. I didn't balk. That's what I meant, but close. You do a good chicken. Do that again. Oh, that's really good. Why aren't you doing Foley on like cartoons or something?
Because I don't know. It's a good question.
It's really good. Anyway,
hire me.
It says here that they said they're just like those, and I don't think they are at all. When I get a loot box in a video game, I spent $59 for your video game. When I get a loot box, fine, whatever, I open it, there's stuff in it. But if you're giving me the opportunity to buy more loot boxes, that would be like a cereal box costing $60 and then having a way inside the box to spend money on additional prizes you didn't get. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's kind of a... Okay, I want to go further with your analogy. I just don't know where to go with it. But I just feel like... what if you could, it's such a different world because we're talking about physical medium versus digital. So to compare it to cereal, a physical item, I just can't see it. Because if I could magically teleport things into my cereal, that might be a different question.
Yeah. Well, also I'm a little more concerned about
what would you want to magically appear in your cereal?
If you could rub
$5 on Captain Crunch's face on the cereal box, and
I want to do that,
and level up your cereal, what would you do?
Well, let's see what the normal prize would be. So let's say it's like a little replica, like a boat or something. Okay, like it's Captain Crunch's boat, or Captain Crunch's boat.
Captain.
Sweet. All right. Well, what if I was really hoping to get that rare drop of Captain Crunch's girdle, or I don't know what it would be.
Crunch's girdle.
And let's say that meant rubbing money on his face.
Right.
I mean, I think I'd probably do it for the weirdness of it, but as a long term like money making tactic, I think I would resent it.
But would you be mad at the box of cereal or the manufacturer?
I'd be mad at FG or F, who is it? Who makes that? I forget who makes Captain Crunch.
Is it General Mills?
I thought it was General Mills. Maybe not. It's not Kellogg's.
Sounds wrong.
It's not Kellogg's though. It's General Mills or it's who are the big one? It's Kellogg's, General Mills,
right. General Mills, Kellogg's, and everybody else.
Everyone else, yeah. So everyone else, I don't know who does it, but the point is that some users on Twitter have been pointing out how GameStop or Spot isn't content. Or isn't content, rather, with hearing customers voice their concern over what loot boxes may be doing to the video game industry. And that's why people are upset. GameSpot wants to embrace this idea because, let's be honest, GameStop is, I keep saying spot, stop, yeah, stop, is desperate for revenue models beyond what's been working for them for the last 20 years. If they are to survive in a more and more digital economy for video games, they have to come up with better ways of making money. So, of course, they're all into the idea of people spending more money after they've already spent their initial money. Now, what that translates to for them or how it works for them in particular and not the game manufacturers, I don't know why they're piping in on this, but it does seem like a thing they'd like. It seems like a thing they'd like, so I kind of get why they are.
It definitely feels weird coming from GameStop. Now, if we were, you know, just two people having a discussion about loot boxes, you know, as two consumers, I think we could have this discussion, but their comment and the way they stated and their aloofness is kind of rubs people the wrong way. And then what makes it even worse is they went on Twitter and they said, not only did we say what we said, we meant what we said, and suck it.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Also, again, I don't know where the product is that they're referring to, because they never really do.
Right.
They just say...
In general.
In general, the idea of... they also use they compared them to Cracker Jacks, Crane Games, Carnivals, Coca-Cola's manipulative marketing from the 20s.
Hey, there's a revelation here about the person who is running the social media over at GameStop. First of all, I think it's maybe the same person on Facebook and Twitter, or they're very close to the person on both sides.
Yeah.
Secondarily, they think that prizes still come in cereal boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not really...
Even if they do, and they do. I mean, if you go to McDonald's, they have them. Sometimes prizes come in kids' cereal. Well, some kids' cereal still do. Like, if you go buy Trix, you'll get a you know, a little thing packed in there. It's usually dumb stuff like stickers or something, you know, and a little flat, right, a flat plastic seal or something. So it's not like it's super unknown or unusual.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, they're not wrong in all of this. I just don't know why they're saying that. Like, why are they, why do they care? Unless they've got some scheme going where if you come in and buy your physical copy of Call of Duty World War II,
of course they support it. It means stuff for them, right?
Inside of this box might be a signed copy of the CEO of GameStop's penis. whatever it is, right? Like, who knows? I don't know, but they're not saying. And because they're being all aloof and not saying, it seems fishy. So I understand why people are weirded out by it. But
it's where it's coming from. It's just it just doesn't land very well. And all these outdated comparative models, just, and if you don't have nothing new and interesting to say, GameStop,
right, and also GameStop,
like Thumper said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Who's Thumper? Oh, the little rabbit
from Bambi. Now I'm showing how old I am. Suck that, GameStop.
Dude, Brandy. Bambi came out before you were born, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. But it didn't stop me from having it on Laserdisc.
Same with me. Oh, yeah, you and your Laserdisc. You went through a phase. Mm-hmm. I forgot about your Laserdisc phase. But okay, final thing I would say, and this is the other reason I just don't think they should be talking about it. Because I don't know why we care what GameStop thinks about this. It's like Kroger is telling us how great an idea it is that the cereal boxes that they may stock in their store have prizes in them.
I think it's more like Kroger telling us how great it is to have one of those stupid Kroger cards.
Oh yeah, they love those.
Instead of just giving us cheaper stuff. Give us cheaper stuff.
I hate that scheme. It's my least favorite scheme in the world. Walk in there. Oh, do you have your Smith's card with you? No. Oh, well, do you have a number on our system? I don't know, maybe. Do you have this? Oh yeah, it certainly looks like you do. So that means you're gonna get $1 off that spaghetti. Well, F off, dude. Just give me the deal you were going to get. I hate it. Loyalty cards.
Give me the spaghetti.
Loyalty cards are garbage. All right. PlayStation trophies can now earn you discounts on PlayStation Store stuff.
Woo.
This is also a little weird. Achieve to buy, basically. Some changes to the Sony Rewards program mean those who can earn trophies in the games can now earn points that are good towards discounts on the PlayStation Store. It sounds like tickets and trinkets at an arcade a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. It's like, and then you get mad because it's like, I spent $20 to get this stupid ring. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You spent $20 to play the games, and you just happened to get a ring.
You got like a purple spider ring. That's all you get out of that damn place.
Is that
place.
What you always got was the spider ring?
Yeah, sometimes the vampire teeth, sometimes the bouncy ball or something.
Right,
but usually everything beyond that was way too many tickets. Like
the ticket system always brings out the worst in me. When I go to arcades with ticket systems, I'm always like skulking around other kids when they're they left one.
Yep, the house always wins in the tickets game. It's not great.
There's two things that make me less of a person when I go into arcades. That's the ticket system because I'm always trying to game the system, and I always kind of bump into those coin slide things.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those, Brian. They're going to get you every time. So here's how it works. Under the terms, earning 100 silver trophies is worth 100 points. 25 gold trophies get you 250 points. And 10 platinum trophies, which are awarded for earning every trophy in the game, get you 1,000 points. That's for every 10. This offer is only good for U.S. gamers. There's probably some laws and stuff that don't let us do it elsewhere. Currently, 1,000 points in the Sony Rewards program gets a user a $10 discount voucher on PlayStation Network. The other catch is that the user must be signed up for the Sony Rewards program to have their PlayStation Network account linked prior to earning these trophies. So if you've already earned them, sorry, you're not getting retro for that.
Aww.
Sony is not going to reward prior work is what they're saying. For those looking to grind their way to discounts, it still represents a lot of work. Getting a platinum trophy is no small accomplishment. Usually involves several lesser trophies for specific achievements. Sounds like too much work. I'm not doing it. Forget it.
It always is. I'm like, who comes up with this idea? It's like, what do you think you're exactly? Who exactly are you motivating?
Yeah.
Nobody. To do this.
Not me.
Nobody.
Not me, dude.
Nobody. And all you ever do, all that ever happens, I have Microsoft reward points, had them for years, for my 360 that I had back in the day.
Yeah.
And they send me, Microsoft sends me, oh, you've got points. You better spend them. I'm like, okay, all right, let me look what I got here. I got points. What can I buy? A wallpaper. I don't want your stupid wallpaper. So it's just more of that same old crap. So I guess if you're into it, I guess it means something, but, to me, it's just something else. It's a big old headache for and a disappointment every time I look and go, oh, that's...
Maybe what it is when you're a kid and you have a ton of expendable time.
Right.
But not a lot of expendable money. What you do is you spend that expendable time earning trophies and rewards so that you can have even just 10 extra dollars, a lot of money to a kid. I mean, maybe that's what they're aiming for here. I don't think this is supposed to be for people with jobs, because people with jobs can earn 10 bucks for an hour of just being at work or less.
I just realized Sony is way more evil than GameStop. They're actually doing the thing that GameStop suggests.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. They are doing that, aren't they?
Yeah, they're actually telling these kids. What are they trying to get them to be in front of the PlayStation more so they can keep doing that PlayStation Plus to make them feel invested?
Bingo. YouTubers are pissed at Nintendo, and they're calling them out for their dumb policies on streaming and uploads.
Nintendo!
Game critic and popular YouTuber Video Game Donkey, also known as Jason Castro.
Gastrointestinal.
Yeah, gastrointestinal Castro. Castrated gastrointestinal
Castro. Hey, we're going too far.
tweeted out an image last night condemning Nintendo for claiming copyright on a review video he uploaded. The tweet comes after Donkey... Right. Spoke about his grievances with Nintendo on a recent podcast, admitting he knew that the video was going to be demonetized, but was going to move forward with it anyway. His tweet was met with similar airing of grievances from the YouTubers in the gaming community. This included Boogie2988. Do you know him?
Good old Boogie. I have no idea.
I don't know any of these names.
I know Video Game Donkey, but I don't know Boogie.
I don't know Donkey either. None of these people are familiar to me. This is a whole new generation that I have missed. If it isn't, who do I know? I know the one that's always dropping N-words. the Swede guy, that guy.
He keeps saying stupid stuff.
Yeah, PewDiePie. And then you got the Funky Bean. I don't know who else is there. There's other people.
Oh, the Funky Bean.
Nintendo has been pretty forthcoming with how members of its creators program can use games from its library and videos. Let's Play videos and other uploads that include commentary, and when therefore follow under the purview of acceptable fair use are fine. Live streams, according to recent updates from Nintendo, are not. For the majority of YouTubers want to capture game footage and add commentary track and upload to YouTube, Nintendo is fine with that. This is where things get tricky. Those who want to profit off of these videos have to belong to Nintendo's Creators Club, which was announced in 2015. So it's a little bit weird. Nintendo's being weird about it. Here's bottom line, okay? Brush all the stuff aside. Here's the bottom line. The more Nintendo resists this, the dumber they look. Because this sells games. It's been proven across the board. It doesn't necessarily mean greater sales for those who are making very small indie games. Some people might tune into a stream to watch that, and that they're good. They don't need to go buy that. And that's a bummer, because they're the ones that need the money the most. But Nintendo would only benefit, just like EA and Blizzard and everybody else benefits, from Let's Plays and streams. You need to cultivate that, not fight against it. So I think that in the end, Nintendo will be on the losing end of this.
Right. You know, from a sheer number standpoint, you would think that would be true. But Nintendo has always played the control game. And so they're still getting their videos out there, but by the select few that they choose. So people are still going to look for the same videos. They're just going to look for them played by these certain players.
Yeah, but if you're not motivated to be... I mean, if you're a YouTuber or a streamer on Twitch or something, and your entire day job is now streaming content and getting people excited, you're going to focus on the ones where... The corporate culture isn't, oh my gosh, tisk, 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 I can't believe you streamed our game. Like, they're just going to avoid Nintendo games. That's bad for Nintendo. They get less exposure. Like, I just think the genie's out of the bottle, dude. Like, we live in a time where you can stream anything, anytime, anywhere with a camera of any kind. Like, it's just dumb to have a stance that puts you out in left field and everybody else is getting all the exposure. It's just dumb to me. But whatever. Boy, this is a complaint about the industry show, isn't it?
I'm telling you, man, we've had a lot of angry.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got some happy stuff. It comes in the form of what happened at Blizzard. Here's my breakdown of the announcements at the con. Now, again, if you want big-time details and a live version of the panel, a recorded version of the panel that the Instance did at the con itself, which we did on their epic stage in the Dark Moon Fair area there, the new Hall H. You can find that over at theinstance.net, and you can find the interview we did for Heroes of the Storm over at heroesforyou.com. There's all kinds of content that we'll be talking about on those shows as well, including the exploding tire this week, all kinds of Overwatch stuff, so I'm not going to get into big details here. Here's the broad strokes. Overwatch, brand new character. Her name is Moira. And she's got, she's a healer slash support character. And they've been promising one of those for a while. So we got a new healer in the game. She's a little bit more straightforward than some of the healers of the past. She's also very buffy for your team when it comes to damage buffs and stuff like that. Hard kind of to explain what she does. It's like a mix between Zenyatta, Mercy, and a little bit of Symmetra thrown in. It's a very odd character. She looks like David Bowie. Go look her up. It's Moira. Then there's a new map in Overwatch being worked on coming out early 2018 called Blizzard World. It is exactly what you think it is. It's a great big fake theme park set around Blizzard stuff. So there's like a Snacks Ramus restaurant and some kind of, I forget all the goofy names, but there's all these like dumb dad joke names for stuff. And there's StarCraft section and a Warcraft section and all the Blizzard IP stuff is represented. It's very, very cool. And then there was also a new short film about Reinhardt, which was excellent. Really good. Recommend checking that out. For World of Warcraft, new expansion called The Battle for Azeroth. And it's back to faction warfare, baby. It's all about Alliance v. Horde. And there was a big cinematic shown. It is the best they've ever done. It's absolutely incredible cinematic. Just beautiful. Even if you're not a WoW fan, I would highly recommend you to go check that out. What else? There's lots of new features. Classic servers are coming. So they're going to say, hey, people who want classic servers, we'll do them ourselves. They gave very few details, but we know that those are on their way. In Heroes of the Storm, Alexstrasza and Hanzo are joining the Nexus. Hanzo from Overwatch. Alexstrasza is a dragon lady chick from World of Warcraft. They're coming. They showed a cinematic for them fighting each other and then together. And they got all kinds of crazy new plans for 2018 that they detailed. I won't get into those here. Again, check out the Core podcast for that. Brian, good news for you and those who never tried it. StarCraft II is going free to play. You get the entire Wings of Liberty campaign and the core game for free. That includes competitive ladder play and all that kind of stuff. So that's cool. And
Hearthstone. Hey, I played the crap out of StarCraft II.
I remember you did that. But you know, some people may have held off and they're like, I don't know if that's a game for me. Well, maybe now because it'll be free. If you already own it, they'll give you the next expansion for free. If you already own that, they're not really doing anything for us. There's nothing to help us. Hearthstone is getting kobolds and catacombs, brand new thing. The thing that I'm most excited about with that expansion is not the normal play, but the fact that it's shipping with a single-player mode that's basically another roguelike where you're dealt out a number of random cards, you fight bosses until you lose, you keep the cards you got, you go back, you try again. It's a purely single-player focused mode. You do not have to spend a dime, and it is way more my style. So I'm very excited about that. And Diablo 3.
I might have to check that out.
Yeah, you should. It comes out next month, or this month. So watch for that. And Diablo 0 announcements. Nothing. Zero. Zip.
Nothing. You get no Diablos. Okay. I've got plenty of dungeon crawlers.
I don't even think they had playable. Right, they may have had playable stations, but I'm not even sure they had that. But the reason, they said ahead of the show they were not going to do any major Diablo announcements. They warned everybody that that was true. I think they've got something big they're working on, but they're not ready to show it. So we'll see. Time will tell. I think that was it from that. Is that it? Yeah. Let's do a little email in here. I got an email from Justin in Arkansas. Some may say Arkansas. He wrote into boopshow@gmail.com and he says this. Scott and Brian, in my last email, I asked about your gaming backlog and log, and did you think you'd ever clear it out? Knowing that clearing out your backlog is very unlikely, how do you gentlemen prioritize what games you play? Favorite series, the new hotness, friend recommendations, Metascores, a combination of all of the above. Thanks for the input, Justin. Man, that's a really good question. I mean, sometimes when something's hot and new and coming out, that's what I want because it's Mario, it's Assassin's Creed, it's whatever. But for the most part, it kind of just depends on my mood. I get in moods. And right now I'm in like a... I don't know what I'm in right now, actually. It's kind of hard to say what I'm in the mood for right now. I mean, Mario is definitely scratching all kinds of itches. But I think I'm in like a stealth mood right now. I want to do stealthy games. And I don't mean like... I mean like, you know, Deus Ex and Assassin's Creed to the effect that it's stealthy. Games like that are... Once in a while, we'll rear their head and go, Scott, you should be playing more of that. So I'm into that right now.
they sneak up on you and go, hey, Scott, play us.
Yeah, they goose me right in the cheese, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
What do how do you know what to start or what to play or what to do?
Oh, it's super easy. I just go to my Steam library and just randomly pick one.
No. Man, scientific.
What what drives me to tackle my backlog is going to be one of two things. Nostalgia, where I've played something before and just for some reason it hits me, a song or makes me think about it, or a show or something just triggers it, or it more often is usually something that is like a next part, like this Spelunky was you know, it's like, oh, part two's coming out, I need to play the first one again. And it also can be, you know, if there's a hot new roguelike, then I may go back to some of the other roguelikes I've played. So usually it's triggered by those things, nostalgia or upcoming things.
Okay. Well, all right then.
I'm either looking in the past or looking at the future.
Yeah. I'm also like that, what you're saying. Because I do go back and play old things sometimes. Like I'll fire up an old thing and go, what's Unreal Tournament doing these days, you know? And I'll go play like UT 2004 or the original UT in 99 or something. And just to remind myself of A, how fun they were, or B, how I think they're better than they are. Because sometimes that's what happens. I'll see it and go, oh, yeah, this didn't age. Or this doesn't look as good as it used to. Or this doesn't play as well as it used to. So kind of depends. Sometimes all I want is an RPG, and that's all I want to do. RPG, RPG, RPG. Sometimes all I want is MMO. Sometimes all I want is a roguelike side-scroller. Sometimes all I want is a sports game. Like, I go all over the place. Right now, though, I think it's stealth. Get me behind somebody. Let me stab him in the neck. That's what I want.
Stab. And it's not uncommon for me to look at what your friends are playing on Steam, especially. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're playing this. Let me see what's going on.
Yeah, I'll do that sometimes. And if it looks fun, I'll, you know, recommend to myself that I pick it up and play it. If you want to send your own emails to us, you can, Boopshow.
Great question.
Yeah, it's a good one. Thank you very much for that. Boopshow@gmail.com. Well, that means it's time for us to head on out of here. Mosey Allen out the door. Big thanks to everybody for listening. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our address. That's frogpants.com/boop. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. We are on Twitter @boopshow, @TheBrianDunaway, and @ScottJohnson. You can find us all there. Big thanks to the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra for music from a 1950s video game, the fantastic soundtrack we use right here on the show. And if you want to support us, you can go over to patreon.com/frogpants. All the support you can give there is certainly welcome. You can check out our Reddit, frogpants.reddit.com. I think there's also a frogpants, or sorry, a boop.reddit.com, I think. Isn't there? Yeah.
There is. It's boopshow.reddit.com.
Boopshow.reddit. I always forget to go there. I always think it's on the Frog Pants one, but it's not. I'll put that in the notes.
Absolutely. Check there, because I will see things from Captain Kipper and Zach Attacks. Matter of fact, Telltale lays off 90 employees, about one quarter of his staff. That's a
breaking news. Yeah, that just happened. I don't know what's going on at Telltale, but big hack job today. A bunch of people out of there, a whole quarter of them.
Hack job.
Yeah, that sucks. I wonder if their games are, I don't know. Who knows? We'd have to read more into it. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Who knows? But a whole week of gaming awaits, everybody. So go do that. Brian and I will be here next week to sum it all up, talk about what we're playing. Hope you guys have a fantastic time. Brian, anything else you want to say before we go?
No, what are you playing, Scott?
I'm going to play this. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Opioids.